You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Can you explain what is currently happening in Canada in relation to the wildfires?
There are often wildfires in Canada, so that's not new. However, the intensity and the frequency and the number of wildfires is unprecedented in terms of numbers or statistics. It really is quite incredible to see how many wildfires are actually taking place in Canada. Across the country, I've just been to British Columbia, so that's on the western side of the country, and you know, an incredible number of uncontrolled wildfires where local authorities and firefighters, et cetera, are doing their best to try and contain them or control them. But they are so huge and covering such vast areas that it's a really difficult thing to tackle.
So you recently visited Canada. Can you describe your experience there and witnessing
Sure.
those?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm usually based in Tamaki Makaurau, but family is in Canada. So I was in Vancouver and also on Vancouver Island. And, you know, you would wake up in the morning and look at the sky to see how hazy, how much of the wildfires are kind of impacting on air quality. One of my family members walks around with an air quality measure because, you know, it has been pretty intense because of the wildfires. So some days, depending on which way the wind is blowing, things would be fine, but other days it was a stay inside. It was a really be quite aware of your surroundings in light of the fires that were still blazing, and they are still blazing as we speak. I understand that many of the kind of states of emergency that have been declared in various parts, including in British Columbia, but also in Northwest Territories, which is slightly further north, many of those states of emergencies have been declared over, but it doesn't mean that the situation is over. There are still fires that are blazing, so you certainly feel it and you live it on a daily basis of recognizing that the impact of fires is prominent throughout your day, but also, you know, the sense that climate change is certainly bearing down on our own existence is quite real as well.
And what kind of support does humanitarian aid provide in these sort of situations?
Well, it was interesting in that when I flew back from Vancouver to Tamaki Makaurau, the flight had a number of New Zealand firefighters on it. And I understand, I'm not the expert on this, but I understand that New Zealand did send quite a number, I think maybe up to 100 firefighters and other experts in addressing how we can tackle wildfires. So many were on their way home. And some of the conversations that I heard on the plane, it was quite interesting of talking about how bloody intense it was. That was some of the language that I heard, and just how uncontrollable so many of them were. So there's, you know, there's the opportunity where technical staff or people can go and support, but also there's the work of local government and local organizations and local agencies, be they in Canada or elsewhere, that are already prepared and ready to respond as needed. But of course, that takes resources, that takes time, that takes money. And so the ability to fund and resource those people and organizations is critical in being able to respond to emergencies of these kind. So, you know, all sorts of response measures, equally important for preparedness measures, so being prepared in advance so that we're not caught short when these kinds of things do occur.
As a small country in the Pacific, what is Aotearoa's role in the global humanitarian movement against environment-related disasters such as wildfires?
I think Aotearoa has been very active in providing support to Pacific countries across the Pacific, and you know, we have actively been engaged in supporting local government in responding when there is a crisis, depending on what type of crisis that has been. Also, local organizations here in Aotearoa have active partnership in the Pacific to be able to support in preparedness as well as response and recovery measures once a crisis does strike. Equally, diaspora here in Aotearoa are, you know, strongly connected to whānau and families, and the role of remittances or sending money or whatever might be required has always been strong. So I think Aotearoa continues to maintain its obligations in supporting the Pacific where they can. I would also add that it's not just about providing humanitarian aid. It's also about strong advocacy work here in Aotearoa to recognize that, you know, our contributions to carbon emissions has an impact on countries in the Pacific, for example, who have had contributed the least to climate change. Or equally, Aotearoa has an obligation at multilateral opportunities within the United Nations, at COP28, for example, which is to be held in Dubai, to really advocate for those who are polluting and making profits out of pollution to pay for climate finance, to pay for loss and damage. So there's all sorts of ways in which Aotearoa can contribute to supporting the Pacific, be it through tangible aid, but also through advocacy work and also changing our own practices and behaviours here in Aotearoa.
So would you argue there's a need for change within Aotearoa's humanitarian system?
Well, it depends how you define the humanitarian system. I think there's always need for more. And I think as crises become more frequent and more intense, the response mechanism absolutely needs to ramp up because we are seeing more and more floods, more and more crises, more and more wildfires, etc. You know, you turn on the news, there's undoubtedly going to be something there that actually states that there is some kind of natural crisis, which is a direct or indirect result of climate change. So, yes, we absolutely do need to be doing more to provide that kind of aid and support. But as I've said before, we need to be doing an awful lot more too in ensuring that our voices are heard in terms of ensuring that those who are polluting the most are made to pay, as well as reducing the amount of pollution or carbon emissions for which we are responsible.
Is there anything else you'd sort of like to add?
I think what stood out to me as I sat on that plane coming back from Vancouver was just how global this crisis or these crises are felt. And the fact that, further to your previous question on, I guess, global responsibilities, we are all responsible. We might not have felt the impact so profoundly previously, but you look at some of the crises that we faced with flooding, etc., and the rest here in Aotearoa, and, you know, it's very real for so many of us. And the fact that people have been facing these crises globally, I think, is, you know, it's a strong message to recognize that we are in this together globally, and that solutions have to be global as well, while also being rooted very firmly in local response measures as well.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.